Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. This is the home of three astrologers who meet once a week on the internet and broadcast out to you what's coming in the week ahead. And we take calls from listeners or emails, too. So feel free to write us with your questions or call us with your questions. And first off, though, we talk about what's going on. So I'm Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York City at my bright red desk. And I am joined on the air by...
This is Heather Rowan Robin speaking to you from Minnesota by the banks of the Mississippi tonight.
Right. And Mark's planning on joining us, so we'll see when he arrives. So we're
wonderful.
Watching carefully for him to press the enter the switchboard number. Mm-hmm. So Heather, big days in the world. This is big days.
It's
Mars,
a tough
Pluto.
Day, and we've talked about this, the beginning of December being really tricky for a long time, as
right.
Mars moves into an opposition to Uranus and square
mm-hmm.
Pluto, as
right.
Venus heads into Scorpio. And brings up all of our moodiness. She is not there yet, but she will be by Friday.
She goes
and,
there Friday night.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time last week, Saturn squared Neptune. And Saturn squared Neptune, we talk about dissolving containers and breaking down of old structures, and can be wonderful in some places. It brings up the floods. But we see that a dissolving of boundaries of... between countries, we see the flood of immigrants and the wound, you know, how scary that is for so many people, including the immigrants. But I also see it as breaking down of some of the containers that hold people's impulses and their craziness. And, you know, as we all have crazy places, but the containers are dissolving.
Yeah.
And with Uranus opposed Mars is probably number one, lack of impulse, like sudden impulse, lack of impulse control, and anger and frustration. And Mars is debilitated in a sign it's not happy with, so it's not acting in a straightforward and clean way. So we have the major shootout in California, and all day long the British Parliament debated what they were going to do about ISIS and declared war tonight and voted to go bomb Syria. And one bomber went off right away. So, and they've jumped into this.
One bomber plane went off right away?
Yes.
Okay.
They went immediately over to Syria to attack Daesh. And it... You know, and what's going to come out of that? It just feels like, you know, another half dose of penicillin making the situation worse. We don't know, but you know, they're really feeling how close and difficult the situation is.
Yeah.
But yet, each country seems to be acting on its own rather than working as a coordinated effort, which is the only thing that looks like it could be helpful here.
Right, but nobody wants to coordinate because everybody's feeling
very righteous.
Yeah.
Very righteous.
This is a T-square.
And Mercury
will
be heading into Capricorn and will conjunct Pluto about the 19th or 20th of December. So between now and then, it looks like, you know, we're in pretty good shape by Christmas. But now through the winter solstice, it's a very tricky time. And every act of compassion and every act of prayer is going to be important. Hold
right.
each other's hands. Be kind.
Be kind.
Don't fuss over this. Don't sweat the small stuff.
Right. Because people are in the mood with the Mars square Pluto
mm-hmm.
to get mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's.
Yes.
And we talked before the show started because Mars is, we'll just do a little bit of Mars, basic astrology. Mars in Libra, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Mars in Libra is a little passive-aggressive because it's not able to be direct because it's supposed to be in partnership.
Mm-hmm.
But Mars
mm-hmm.
is the planet of individuation. It's the planet that goes,
mm-hmm.
I am. And it rules Aries, which, of course, is the beginning of the season, and Aries is I am. You know, it's the beginning, the enunciation. So Mars having to pause and ask permission to be in relationship. It is
mm-hmm.
often a sign of generals. A lot of generals have it because they're directing wars. But
mm-hmm.
it also is a sign where Mars has trouble sometimes dealing directly, right? So we're going to
mm-hmm.
bomb a country, and we're bombing a country. Do we actually know where ISIS lives in the country, kind of thing? So right. It's a hard, you know, but we have to do something, you know, Mars
right.
and Libra.
That's that Mars.
So we're
going to
take
aspect.
An action. Right, we're going to take an action because Mars has to do something, but we're also going to then not maybe even know what we're doing, or what we take action doing actually has other consequences. Now, the other thing that happens, which is interesting, because this is the part where I think there's a little salvation, Heather,
mm-hmm.
is Venus goes into Scorpio Friday night.
Yeah.
Now, Venus also hates being in Scorpio because she's mm-hmm. all about mm-hmm. love and beauty and growth.
Mm-hmm.
And Scorpio is considered the sign of her detriment. But Mars and Venus are in what we call mutual reception, meaning they're in each
mm-hmm.
other's signs. But they're in the sign of the other one's detriment because they basically, they can swap. Mars and Scorpio, Venus
mm-hmm.
can say to Mars,
mm-hmm.
here, take my Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
And he can act strategically and with foresight and with wisdom and kindness and collaborative, as you said. Scorpio is a strategic sign. And Venus can then go over to Libra, where she can talk about peace and how do we work together and how do we support and sustain and partner with people rather than
mm-hmm.
killing
mm-hmm.
them. So there's a lot of opportunity. And the issue is, on a mundane level, I mean on a world level, these planets don't always act with consciousness. But
no.
when we work with them on an individual level, we have the opportunity to really flip that energy. We have the opportunity to go, okay, let me, what Heather said, go kind. Be conscious of the actions you're taking. Mars and Scorpio is strategic. Somebody's losing it in front of you. Kind of go, you know, I get the sense you're really out of control. Can I help somehow? Rather than, you know, going after them or yelling. However, the instinct will be to yell. And so we have to watch this because it is a very potent little sky up there. And these are very potent planets having very stressful relationships with each other. And, you know, if you feel like you want, I mean, I know in my case I'm going to hang up and go to bed because I got a cold in my nose. I got Mars squaring my Mars. I'm personally being attacked. So I'm like, okay, I give up. I'm
yeah.
going to surrender to the bed. So that's the other option. You know, when you're in this energy, think of other things you can do besides fighting. You know,
right.
what? And prayers help. They really do help. So even just a gentle prayer for England, a gentle prayer for the masses of immigrants who have left their home, and certainly a prayer for those people that were shot at and killed today in California.
And their families.
And their families, right.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting.
I remember talking to Rob Han once years ago about what does it mean to have a planet in fall or in detriment. And we, you know, that it doesn't mean that they're weak. That
no.
just they do not work in a direct and straightforward manner. They don't work by the book like they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mars on a good day is the warrior that takes care of the people and, you know, it's our immune system. It's how the military protects a country, not invades
how
another one.
How if there's
one,
a disaster, they send the military in with food supplies
yes.
and delivery.
Yeah, it's positive. It's that positive Mars. The, you know, what's the warrior for the people? And
right.
so Mars, any planet with its in detriment or fall, is a planet that needs extra consciousness to use wisely.
Right.
And that sometimes it can be a very strong and a very unique and interesting planet because it takes extra consciousness. A person can use it in a very complex, layered, and integrated way. But you have to pay a lot of attention to it. And it's just not going to automatically work on its own the way it's supposed to operate. And we see that, you know, Mars went into Libra the day that Paris was bombed.
Yeah.
And in the minute it went into Libra, it started moving into the orb of this grand of this T square. So, with all of us, how do we act in a clean and straightforward and not victimized oppressive way with one another? Mars in Libra believes deeply in social justice, and there are so many interior arguments raging around our country and in countries nearby about, you know, social justice. We just don't agree on what that means or what that looks like. But that is the key piece. And so if you can help come back to You might find that over the dinner table or fighting over household chores. Or, you know, how people, when we're feeling tension in the world, we can take it out in the microcosm on each other. And come back to, as you said, how do you hear the person and hear what they felt, and when they feel heard and when they feel like their Mars is being respected, they will tend to move out of that reactive place and into the wiser and more complex place of Mars and Libra. Because Mars and Libra can also be very peace-loving and negotiating and loving when we can get it out of that reactive, unconscious place.
Right. I always like to think of Mars and Libra when I'm teaching it as he's a soldier with big boots mm-hmm. on, covered in mud, in his uniform, just after crawling in the foxhole, got invited for tea with the Queen of England. And he's got to come in, put his gun down, and then he's going to track a little mud across the rug, but he wants to have tea with the Queen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of imagine this big soldier trying to drink tea with his pinky out. And that's Mars in Libra. It's not his natural environment.
No.
But he wants to, you know, I mean, every planet wants to do the best they can in the sign they're in, but they also kind of go clump, clump with the mud on their boots. So working with these planets, we understand that when, you know, and there is a reason for every planet and every sign. That's the whole point of it. We get the full spectrum of the world, sometimes not some of the nicer parts of it, but we get to see how a planet adapts because it's in a different character, it's playing a character in the sky when it rolls through a sign. So
yeah.
How does he be a diplomat, a relator, a communicator when he's a warrior? You know, now when I went on a tour, my friend Aaron took me on a tour of the Pentagon, and one of the big things they had was all these humanitarian missions that they did, you know, earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis, whatever. We, you know, we're there with the military dropping food
yep.
and bringing supplies. And I was like, you know, I kind of heard that, you know how you kind of heard things, but you never really realized it. And you walk along this huge corridor full of all these humanitarian missions that we've been running for years. And I was like, wow, that's like the military in its, you know, its kind warrior soldier mode. And then, of course, you know, it has the killer soldier mode, but I think it's interesting that Britain debated and debated and debated on Mars and Libra about whether we're going to go to war. It also is Jupiter and Virgo, which is an understanding of very often the people that fight are the working class people, are the people that are, you know, the civil servant energy. So it's and Moon's in Virgo today, squaring Jupiter, right? Or joining Jupiter,
yeah.
rather. So it's
now Jupiter is also in a sign it's not comfortable in.
Not him. It's
the traditional ruler of Pisces.
Right.
So even that expansive, forgiving, outgoing quality of Jupiter is not in a comfortable place.
Right.
So,
he's in a critical, fussy, and annoying place. We're Virgos, we can say
spoken by two Virgos. But it's
we're
Jupiter,
both Virgos,
it's a kind of a strange connection between the two of those.
Right. But Virgo, Jupiter's a sky god, so he doesn't really like being brought
yeah.
down to Earth and given a series of
tasks.
He's
not a detailed character.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to follow all the rules. He wants to kind of do what he wants to do because he's the king of the sky. And now he's being told he has to drive in the speed limit and color within the lines and behave himself. So he's a little crabby, too. So it's a crabby sky, and so everybody's crabby. And remember, they're all having these transits, too. So they're
yep.
looking and going, man, this is not fun. And it's not.
And no. And your immune system is not happy with it either. And that's, again, with Saturn's Neptune square and Mars in a
yep.
sign it doesn't like, all of our immune system may be unusually what the Chinese medicine calls the jade screen. Our immune system, our internal standing army, is a little off.
Right,
and we're
right.
maybe feeling as permeable as the Syrian border right now. So it's important to take care of your health and do every good thing that you can think of to support that immune system so that it stays.
Drugs and
you practice that with healthy boundaries about work and the people around you. That's not, you know, walling everybody out. It's not letting everything in. It's healthy boundaries And that gives your immune system a mirror to work with. And, right, you know, take in goodness, leave out the germs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got
C,
a couple of people on the phone, and I'm sorry?
Go to bed. Yep.
Yeah.
Go to bed.
We have a couple of people on the phone and a couple of an email that came in. Somebody was asking about, and it's interesting to look at how the transits that we're going through are affecting individual people.
Right.
But the person that called in was January 15th, 56 at 12:20 a.m. in Merced, California.
Right, and this is a
Capricorn moon in Aquarius with Mercury and Venus also in Aquarius, and Capricorn and Aquarius are both traditionally ruled by Saturn, and Saturn is conjunct Mars. And she's just finished a Saturn return. Saturn is now at 7 degrees of Sagittarius, and her natal Saturn is zero Sag, conjunct Mars at zero Sag,
right.
With a Libra rising, and Venus has just come across her ascendant, and born with Uranus at zero Leo up there at the top of the chart. Now, she had a specific question about Uranus transiting
Uranus transit coming up next year, and would like the team to provide some opinions on what they foresee. Thank you for your consideration.
Uranus will be squaring her natal sun.
Yep.
And just a little while ago, about 11 months ago, her progressed moon conjunct Uranus. So I think she's been feeling this already, this sort of unsettled time. And with a strong base of her chart, she likes short-term change, but is not so fond of big shifts. Uranus is moving into a sextile with her moon, as just finished a sextile with her Mercury, and is moving into a sextile with her moon. So that will help her kind of gear up and get ready for some of these changes. It looks like there's new people coming into her life. Uranus will then hit her 7th house cusp, changing relationships, new people. Just 2.5 years ago, she began a whole new 30-year cycle with her progressed lunar moon. She's just finished her second Saturn return, and she's really heading into a new phase in her life and maybe feeling younger now that Saturn is off that exact degree of her Saturn and her Mars, and feeling more energized. And if she can step into the identity of who she is at this point in her life rather than hold on to who she was, that there's kind of exciting new beginnings coming through with this. Now, her progressed Mercury is at 5 degrees of Pisces, so Neptune's been sitting on it. And I think it's been hard for her to see far ahead. And with all those Saturn-ruled planets at the bottom of her chart, she likes knowing what's happening far ahead. Mm-hmm. And that it really isn't – it's a time to really trust herself rather than borrow trouble from the future or try to be in control of it. Just trust that she really knows her stuff, and she knows what makes herself happy, and she knows – and to begin to imagine, if she could change things, how would she like them to change into? Because there are changes coming, but she can direct those changes. She can't control them, but she can direct them. It's like she has got her hand on the rudder, but the boat's on a sea and there's wind in the sails. So does that make sense to you, Anne?
Yeah, it does. And I think I would add to that, because Uranus is an angular planet at the top of her chart, and it's retrograde, and she's a Capricorn, and she's got a lot of fixed planets and cardinal houses. She doesn't really like change that much.
No.
And so knowing that the planet of change is coming and about to zoom above her horizon, and you know, he's been below Earth for 40-some-odd years, he's going to erupt like a little volcano in her seventh house. But I think that the Uranus transits that I would say is the moon just went over it like 5 months ago, 4 months ago, into the seventh, and he carried the energy from Uranus. So you want to go back and look at what happened 4 months ago, and then back probably about 11 months ago when Moon-Uranus met, because that's the foretaste. Because for you, Moon rules the midheaven, and Uranus is at the top of the chart, and now by progression, it's in Cancer. So whatever happened when the Moon hit your ascendant, your descendant, and it hit your transiting Uranus, those are kind of beginnings. And part of the joy of this chart, if we want to give it a happy story, is for it to kind of approach these upcoming changes with a sense of curiosity and a sense of wonderment, because that will help a lot. Because,
yeah.
You know, what Heather said before about borrowing worry from the future, you know, that's part of the journey. But because you just went through your Saturn return, I totally get the worry, because when you went through your Saturn return in January and in September, it trined that Uranus. So you also got a little zzzz when that happened. But Uranus, when he's above ground, meaning he's out from underneath the sixth house, a lot of the anxiety stuff goes away, and there's more of an opportunity then to deal with him directly, because you're looking him in the eye, because he's right across the table from you, as opposed to above you bringing unwelcome changes or stimulating your Saturn. And the other part is, you know, you're older and wiser now. So that Saturn return, you're a master. And
mm-hmm.
you are now officially in charge of it. And Capricorns, I have to say the best part about being a Capricorn is when you get old, because they age really well, because they've done the work. And you have also a lot of planets that answer to Saturn, all those Aquarian planets. We're going to give them to Uranus, but we're also going to give them to Saturn. So Uranus, when he changes hemispheres, meaning going from the southern to the northern, all of those Aquarian planets are all going to stand up and go, wow, he left the room. Where did he go? Because they're all answering to him on some level. So it's going to be an interesting time, because Uranus transits for you, especially if you study astrology, you've probably noticed, tend to be pretty darn big, because they involve your Saturn and your Mars, your relationship to your roots, your relationship to your ego, your relationship to other people, and then all those other planets kind of pay attention to him. They all kind of react to him. I always think of it as like dog whistles. You know, when you have a dog whistle, you can't hear it, but the dog does, and he kind of perks his ears up and goes, oh, what's going on? So when a planet changes like your Uranus is going to, tends to be the dog whistle goes off, and everybody sits right up and goes, whoa, something's going on now. So I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be interesting. And I think that progressed new moon in the seventh, you're really ready for a whole new set of adventures. So, and of course, back to, you know, standard astrology, back to 85, what happened then? What happened when Uranus came into your first house? Because when he went below the surface, that was a huge thing, because he's such an angular planet and he rules so many planets in your chart. So it's an interesting, it's going to be fun. You're going to have a good time, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably going to dye your hair purple.
Or
buy a short, fast red car. Small,
that
fast red
lovely.
Car.
That sounds lovely.
So, make that Mars,
and we
make
have
that
a
Mars
few other
Aries
people
happy. Yeah, we do.
On the line who would like to check in with us. Shall we give them a shot?
Yeah, sure, we'll give this one a shot. Hi, 202-281, you're on the air. How you doing? Can we help?
Hi, guys, how are you?
Hello, can't hear you. A little louder.
Hi, sorry, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. How can we help you today, and when were you born?
Okay, so it's 3580.
3-5-1980. Yep.
1:29 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Me too.
Yep.
It was much earlier, but I was also born in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Let's see. Are you still there?
No, I'm
in Philadelphia.
In New York, Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. So you were born with the moon was exactly conjunct Pluto at the time of your birth. What's your question?
Just a lot of transitions going on, I
yeah.
guess. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you see that stands out, career and money are definitely a big focus right now. So
mm-hmm.
I just hear about what transits. Let's see.
Okay, you've got, you know, again, the people that call rarely call in when there's nothing going on in their charts. And you know there's some big changes coming up in the years ahead. And you've got some room with Jupiter going through your house of career or heading up into your house of career. It's heading across the top of your chart. You've got some room to grow over the next couple of years. And it looks like if you want to run with it, there's, you know, there's a lot of room for you to put your career where you want it to be. This month, you have both Venus and Mars working their way through your 10th house. Venus just went over your Moon-Pluto conjunction. But over the next couple of years, Pluto will be squaring that conjunction and Uranus will be opposing it. So do you really love the work that you're in? And are you in something that involves, you know, broadcasting or getting the word out?
Yes. Yes. And okay. Yes.
Yeah. So, and if you love what you're wearing, because you've got a loaded ninth house, you've got your north node with a Mars-Jupiter conjunction in Virgo, and that is someone who really is competitive, but you're not competitive necessarily against other people, but with your personal best. You really, yes. It's really that you will kind of always be pushing. You're not going to just be content to just sit back. You
right.
tend to run for it.
Right.
And this year, Saturn is still working its way through your 12th house. In about a year, Saturn crosses your ascendant, and suddenly all the work that you've been doing behind the scenes becomes more visible, and people are ready to see it. Uranus will be coming to conjunct your sun in the 4th house, your progress sun, and it looks to me like there is some unexpected opportunities that allow you to really take off if you choose to run with them. Now, there's a kind of a fear of being lonely that is deep and part of the family training, as if there was some major emotional costs that one or the other of your parents had to go through in order to have family or to have the love of their life, and that they felt like they had to choose between their work and love in some way, and that their needs may have been upstaged by the needs of either their career or somebody near them.
Yes.
And so there's part of you that keeps, you know, that feels like, you know, who knows that you can make it 1 minute and the next minute feels like you're never going to get there.
Right.
And that, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And that, but if you can stop worrying about what you hope it'll be and what you're afraid it'll be, but just notice that you're steadily doing well. And that fear that your family had does not have to be replicated this time. It's going to be challenged, but you have to hold the image that you can both be successful and partnered, or successful and companioned and loved. Because you can. You've got a very romantic, soft heart in one way and a fierce warrior nature in another way. And you can't choose between those two sides because they both are you.
They are.
And you can do it. It's just that, you know, your family couldn't give you the map for how to because they never figured it out. But I want you to look around for the people that do it, so that you can begin to imagine that it's possible. And next year, when Saturn comes out of the 12th and you're on, and you're getting busy, and Saturn is no longer squaring your Mars and Jupiter, and Uranus starts talking to your Moon, that you'll be ready to roll because you've got some images in your mind of, I can be successful, and my tender heart and my competitive fierceness can both find a way to work together in the future.
Right.
Does that make sense to you, Anne?
Yeah, it does. And I think I would add that because by progression your sun is now in Aries, chart's a little more impatient with how things are running. And that's part of the news of this. It's like, okay, watch for a promotion or something in January when Jupiter stations on your Saturn, your progressed Saturn at 29, or some news of career. And then again in July, because you've got a lot of stuff at 22. And if this career you started when you were 22. There should be some big payoff this year. But I think, you know, I basically agree with pretty much everything Heather said.
I think our time is just about up, too.
Just about finished, yeah. So with the moon opposite Venus, it's really about having both sides of your nature available to you every day. And the more you can integrate them and know, okay, today I did the moon in Libra, I'm relating. Okay, now I have to do my warrior goddess, Venus and Aries. Okay, now I have to do my relating. And just kind of bouncing between those two, it'll really help. So,
yeah.
And on that note, the show's over. So good
luck.
Thank
you,
okay.
Posted. Yeah.
Take
bye-bye.
Care of each other. Remember, when in doubt, kindness and compassion.
Right. And we'll see you all next week on Access Astrology. Take care, folks.
Wonderful. Take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye.